All right. Thank you, Nathan and Hector. Good message and song. Make you think back when you were saved. Amen. All right. A little bit different tonight. I was in the hospital a few days this week, and it makes you weak. I didn't know how weak I was till about the time I finished preaching this morning. I realized I was, and I'm going to goof off a little bit tonight. I'm going to lean on some of our good help we have around here. Boy, we're blessed to have that. Do you know it? Not only in the music program, but we have so many of our men, college staff, and others that they can just preach at the drop of a hat. Amen? And do a good job. Know the Word of God. And you're going to have to cut me a little slack. If you expect me to just keep on going for the next 20 years, you're going to let me have to lean on one of them every now and then. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you're going to show me your sympathy, and I got a bunch of cards in the office, and I appreciate that, and a lot of them from our day school classes, and I appreciate that. Most of you have been real kind and expressing sympathy. Some of those cards, the little kid says, you know, it's interesting to see how they write. Sorry you were in the hospital, you know, and various things that that they say. Most everybody's been good. Now, Brother Mike Gallion told me that I could come back in kind of slow, but pretty soon had to catch up to the preacher that preached last Sunday night. Brother Randy, I was listening on the radio. I could not see him turn cartwheels. I did not know he was doing that. But his voice never changed over the radio. So apparently done it well. You wouldn't expect me to be able to turn cartwheels, would you? Other than Brother Gallion. Who said what? Anyway, hey, I did turn a cartwheel one time on the platform in front of a bunch of people. I was in the third grade. And we were putting on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I do not know which one of the seven I was, but he was the one that had to turn the cartwheel. And I remember it. Best thing I remember about it is I got so close to the edge that my third grade teacher screamed whenever I did it. She thought I was going off the platform. So you just don't know what's in my background, amen? I'll tell you what, there's no cartwheels in my future, however. All right, all joking aside, I've asked Brother Tim Manus to come and bring the message tonight. Tim and Marissa, of course, are taking care of one of the young married couples' classes, and pray for the young Mickey now as he has to go in for these tubes in his ears. But Brother Tim knows the Word of God, one of our students of our college that we're proud of, come back now on staff, and we're so glad to have him back. Brother Tim. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. It's my pleasure to be here. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, and I would appreciate any prayers for my son that you could offer up. We got to leave our house about 5 o'clock tomorrow morning and head over to the hospital. And so it's going to be a good early morning, amen? So pray for us with that. Lord, just take care of it. And that my big prayer is that his ears would accept the tubes. I've heard horror stories of when children's ears, they wouldn't accept it, and it just happens over and over and over again. So please just pray that he would accept the tubes, amen? We're going to be in Exodus chapter 13 tonight. We're going to kind of work our way through the book of Exodus a little bit. And the title of my message is, It's Time to Follow God. It's time to follow God. And, you know, in our nation, it's time to follow God. And in our churches, it's time to follow God. It's time to get back to some basics that have been so neglected. And we need to get back to these things. And if you'd stand with me out of honor and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read just a few verses right now in Exodus chapter 13. We'll start in verse 17. It says, And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them through the way of the land. God would not let them through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And that simply means that they went prepared. The Bible says, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness." This is these next two verses are our key verses. It says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this wonderful story, dear God, and I pray that you'd use it to touch our hearts tonight, and that you'd bring us to some truths tonight. I pray all this in Jesus' wonderful holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach a simple message. I always like to preach a simple message. Amen. And my idea tonight, as I was looking at this, and I've been going through some simple Bible stories and looking for the Lord to give me some deep truths for my own life. And I started different things, and you know, some of the Bible stories we haven't revisited in our Sunday school since we were children. And you know, we need to get back to those things and revisit some of those very simple Bible stories. And this is one of those. I remember as a child, and I remember the photograph with the column of smoke and the column of fire. And I think most of us could probably remember that. And we all know the stories, and we go through these things. But you know, there's so much truth in that. As I got to looking up the word cloud in my Bible, and going through all the different things, a cloud is very interesting. I got to looking it up in the 1828 dictionary. I wanted to get the definition, and it was very interesting when I looked in there. I seen something in his dictionary I'd never seen before. He said, "I have not found this word in any other language." And I thought that was interesting. I've never seen that in his dictionary before. And I got to looking at it, and he says, but majority of the people say it is simply a collection. A cloud is a collection. We have the cloud of witnesses, a collection of witnesses. And a cloud, you know, as we think about it, when we see a cloud in the sky, it is a collection of water, vapors in the air. And so tonight I want to make this application that the Bible is your cloud. It's a collection of words, of sentences put together and organized by God. You know, a cloud is interesting in this way that nobody can manipulate the clouds. There's nobody on this earth that can blow a fan big enough to make the clouds go away. The word of God will always be here. It'll stand forever, man. There's nobody that can look up at a cloud and say, "It's time for you to storm now." Now, Jesus did that, but nobody else could. Clouds can only be manipulated by God. And so this word of God that we want to talk about tonight, it is only manipulated by God. When it come time for that cloud in the wilderness, hey, Pharaoh could not stop the cloud. We go into in chapter 14, they're getting ready to cross over the Red Sea, and the Bible says that the cloud got behind them, and on the one side, it was light to shine to the Israelites, but on the backside, it was darkness so that the Egyptians could not see a thing out there in the desert. We want to talk about a miracle. So I'd like to take this idea of a cloud tonight and just apply it to our lives. You know, we need the word of God. And if we're going to follow God, we need to follow God again. We need to get into those things. We're going to need the Bible. I had a preacher one time. I could not even tell you his name. I don't remember. I was with my father-in-law. My father-in-law is a missionary. And I was getting ready to graduate Bible college. It was probably, I don't know, March or April. I was married at this point, and originally I had a plan to go to North Carolina and start a church in a little town, and the Lord led somebody else there, and God took care of that and took that burden off of my heart. But then there was nothing else. There was no other burden there at the time other than for lost souls, and so I didn't know what the Lord would have me to do. And so I was talking to this preacher. I said, "I'm just not sure what the Lord's going to have me to do." He asked me, he's like, "Well, where are you planning to go?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know what God's going to have for me." And he told me, he said, "Just read your Bible and pray, and God will lead you." And we've gotten away from just reading our Bible and praying. Boy, the children of Israel would have just watched the fire and the cloud of smoke, that everything would have been all right, but they got so focused on so many other things. And we see the many issues. Verse 22, it says, "He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." I want you to notice something, okay? As soon as they got out of the bondage of Egypt, he gave them leadership. And in your life, as soon as you got saved out of sin and out of strife, he gave you the word of God, and he gave you his Holy Spirit, and he will lead you. in whichever way you need to go. He's not going to leave you one night astray. As a child of God, you're not going to have one place that he is not going to go with you. He's not there. He's not going to leave you forsaken. He's not going to neglect you. He will be there with you by your side all the time. And as soon as they came out of Egypt, that same night, the first night they were out in the wilderness, and they didn't have a place to go. They were stuck. They come to the Red Sea. They were at a halt. The Egyptians were coming up behind them. They didn't know where to go. He said, I'm going to bring you what you need, and that is my presence. I'm going to bring you the cloud of smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night to lead and guide and direct you. You will not go one night without me. As a child of God, we need to be reminded of these things. The only time we go a night without God is when we don't spend a night in prayer and without the Word of God. He didn't take it away from us. He never put the Bible in such a position where it just doesn't mean anything to us. I tell you, there's not one time when I go to my Bible, whether I read 10 verses or I read 10 chapters, I'm going to get something out of the Word of God, because he does something with it. He takes it and he applies it to my life. And I know this is a simple message, and we have a good pastor that's led us and guided us in these ways. And so I'm not preaching anything new to anybody, but this is just a refreshment to my soul to say we need the Word of God and we need to follow God again. It's time to get back to these things. I want you to go with me over here to Exodus chapter 19. Actually, let's stop at 16 real quick. We're going to flip through a little bit of this. The Bible says, and Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel. This is verse 9, I'm sorry. Verse 9, I'm a little nervous. Last two times I preached, your preacher wasn't here, amen? And he's a little more nervous when he's sitting right here behind you, praise the Lord. But I'm very glad to have him in church tonight, and I was very honored to receive the phone call this afternoon. Verse 9, it says, and Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. You know, over and over again, as you go through, especially these first five books of the Bible, over and over and over again, the Bible, God appears in a cloud, uses a cloud. And we're going to go over in a couple chapters, and the Bible says that when Moses went up to the mountain, that a cloud surrounded the mountain. And God dealt with him while he was in that cloud. You know, if you want God to deal with you, you want God to lead you and guide you and direct you, you're going to have to get into the cloud. It's a collection of words. Nobody can manipulate it except for him. And he's going to change it for whatever he sees fit at the time. He's not going to change the text, but he's going to change the way he can apply it to you. I tell you, you can read one story one day and read the same story the very next day and see something completely different. Amen. Just this last week, and I almost preached a third part out of Mark chapter 2, Brother Parsons on Friday preached out of Mark chapter 2 and preached how we need to be willing to go above and beyond and tear the tiles off the ceiling. It's the story where they let the man down through the ceiling for the Lord to heal him. And then by Tuesday, the Lord had already given me this message when Brother Parson preached on Friday to preach a whole nother message out of that same text. And then Dr. Pitts, after chapter, he said, somebody needs to preach a message on this. And I almost preached it on this, and the title was, How Do We Miss It? And because you're looking at the wrong fashions, amen? And they said, we have not seen it after this fashion. Right. People are looking at the wrong fashion. And so, you know, God can use one simple Bible story, which just made up of about 10 verses on average through the Gospels, and give you a whole bunch of stuff out of it. Amen. And apply it in so many different ways. Yeah. And nobody can do that except for him. Like, you pick up any other novel and you read it over and over and over again, it's going to be the same thing over and over and over again. But the Bible's not a novel, it's the Word of God. It's quick and powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's going to do something in your life if you just apply it and get into it and pick a part of it. Hey, you can look at the clouds all day long, but until you decide, I want something from it, it's not going to happen. You say, how can we reach the clouds? They're above our reach. God will bring it to you. You know, a lot of people think, I just can't understand the Bible. You ever asked them to help you understand it? Right. Right. There are people that have been saved for years and years, and there are parts of the Bible they've never read. Right. It's shame on you if there's a part of the Bible you've never read. It's shame if you've never read some of the minor prophets. Amen? Amen? There's lots of blessings in there and lots of truths that we can glean from, because that's part of his cloud. That's part of what he's put there to lead us and to guide us. To do the things that he has for us. I was looking at a message I wanted to preach out of Haggai tonight, but the Lord wouldn't give me the peace to do it. And he tells the people there that they had just laid the foundation for the temple, getting ready to build more and more, and they stopped for about 20 years. They stopped. They halted. And the Lord asked him the question. He said, is the seed yet in the barn?
Yeah.
He said, why aren't you working? Why aren't you going after these things? Because they got away from the cloud. He never told them to stop working. They got distracted because the enemies of God come and said, do you know what you're doing? They said, we can come and help you. And bless God, anytime somebody wants to come and help the church do something and they're not a man of God, you better watch out and you better be fearful of what they've got to say and what they've got to do. Right. They can have the best organizational techniques. And God forbid that Landmark Baptist College ever become a college where we are training executives and leaders of that sort. We want to train preachers, amen? Men of God who've learned to get out to the cloud and take a part of the cloud and say, I can use that in my life, and I can use it as an example so that I can lead, because I want to follow God. I want you to go with me. We're going to flip a little bit farther. Go with me to 19, chapter 19. Let's go ahead and start in verse 17. It says, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. They didn't want to go up to the mountain where Moses was. That was just too much for them. There's a lot of people that they don't want to read the God because they know what God. They don't want to read the Bible because they know what God wants them to do. Yeah. Verse 18, it says, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. What was the other part of the Lid's leadership in the desert? It was fire. You know, the Bible says in James or Jeremiah chapter 23 that his word is as a fire. He actually asked the question, he said, is not my word like a fire?
Yes.
Hadn't there ever been times when you got into the Bible and you know, you can read something and just a few verses. Sometimes, you know, when I do my daily Bible reading, I want to do a lot because that's what I feel like I ought to do. But there have been times when I got to reading my Bible and I just get three or four verses into it and the Lord strikes me and says, you need to stop right there and sit on that for a little while. Because there's a fire. He says, I got a little spot here that needs to burn in your heart. You need to focus on this and get concentrated on it and find it and get to the deepest truth of it so that I can tell you and lead you in a new area of life that you need to go into. And people say, I don't know what to do with my life. Have you read the Bible? He's got lots of leadership things in there. He's got lots of ways to direct you and guide you, and he'll take care of you. Bless God, I remember that preacher. He told me, he said, read the Bible and pray, and God will lead you. And so we went to my home church for about a year, and then God led us to Okeechobee, and he used us there for about 4 years. Then he brought us here, and I praise the Lord to be here. This is the best place on the planet Earth, amen?
Amen.
Especially right here at this pulpit. There ain't no better place than Landmark Baptist Church at this pulpit, amen? You couldn't put me in a better place. You couldn't give me a better job. I love working for the church. Some of the things I don't enjoy, we had to work on the septic over here behind the school the other day. That wasn't any fun, amen? Some of these guys were here and they know about it. That I didn't enjoy that, amen? I didn't praise the Lord for that situation. And that brought up a certain cloud of fumes that I did not enjoy, amen? But I praise the Lord to be here. I told the college, I have the greatest privilege. Every week I get a paycheck from the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for those who tithe for us to work here and work in the ministry. And when I get a paycheck and it says Landmark Baptist Church on it, that means so much to me. Amen. And not to anybody that is a paid staff at this church, because you people have to realize something. We work for what is probably the greatest church in fundamentalism. Amen. You know, there's no other church. You go across this nation, just like Brother Dignan said the other night. He says, I don't go one place where they don't know we're about Landmark Baptist Church and Pastor Mickey Carter. We ought to thank the Lord for that. And he led me here. He brought me here. It was by a chance phone call. I called Brother Parson one Saturday. I thought it was chance. The Lord had it planned. And I was at a crossroads. I had read my Bible that morning, praise the Lord. And I called him. I said, Brother, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck in this situation, and things are getting iffy for me here, and I don't feel like I should be here any longer. He said, I was just praying this morning that the Lord would send us a dean of men. And I said, you know what, God, I'll take that as a window. At first, I said no, and I called him back later that afternoon. I said, you know what, brother, I can't say no yet. Amen? At first, I said, I can't take it. I feel I need to stick out here a little bit longer. And by that afternoon, the Lord had poked and prodded on me. He says, you got to call him back. You need to take that. And praise the Lord, by Monday, preacher called me and said, let's have a meeting on Thursday. And by By Friday morning, we had made the decision. So within 6 days' time, God had led me to make a decision to be here at Landmark Baptist Church. Why? Because he uses his word to touch my heart and make me sensitive to the things that he has to say to me. How do you expect to be sensitive to the voice of God, to, as Brother Dignan said, the sounds of the Savior, when you don't even know his voice?
Good.
When you haven't been in the Word of God enough to hear him speaking. The Bible says Mount Sinai was altogether a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Verse 19 says, and the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Boy, it's a wonderful thing to get to go into the mountain, into the smoke with God. Amen?
Yes.
Boy, if you've ever been there, you know how great it is. Some people say, I just don't understand what the preacher's talking about sometimes. And it's because you've never been into the mountain with God. You've never gotten the smoke of your own in the prayer closet, in your Bible reading. You've never done that for yourself. You want to find the leadership of God. You want him to lead you and take you in the place you ought to go. You've got to get in the Word of God. I want you to go with me to the last chapter of Exodus. Preacher told me, he said, don't worry about being real long tonight because we got this ice cream social. And I said, yes, sir. I'll make sure to be done on time. In the last chapter of Exodus, they have just finished building the tabernacle. Everything was set. They had all the altars and the lavers, and everything was in place. And this was a portable tabernacle. This was basically their temple on wheels, just about. And they had everything set up. You know, I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to do something in my church. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not satisfied with a church that just is status quo. That doesn't fly for me. I want to see God doing something. I want to see the church grow. I'm blessed to see a full house here tonight. Amen? This is a blessing to me. Let's go and let's start in verse 30. It says, and he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. When they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses, and he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hangings of the court of the gate. So Moses finished the work. The Bible says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. When the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel and throughout all their journeys. You know, if we could get the Bible into the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about the people. If we could all have a part of the Bible in us where we all read the Bible, we meditate on the Bible, you know, there would be something in here. When you get the Bible in you so much, the Bible says there was no room for Moses in the tent. If there wasn't any room for Moses, there wasn't any room for anybody. And if you can get the Bible so full, or you get yourself so full of the Bible, you'll find yourself not in it. And you get in the way.
Yeah.
My dad always told me, and Brother Parsons told me this just the other day, he said every church would be perfect if it weren't for people. And my dad's told me that ever since I was a kid. Every time there's an issue in the church, and I would say, why do people have to be like that? He'd say, well, because there's people. And, you know, the church would be perfect, but then there wouldn't be any people in it. And if we could get the Word of God into this church, into our hearts, into every mind, every person that's sitting here tonight, if they'd go home and read their Bible tonight and read their Bible tomorrow, you know you would find less and less of yourself and all of your issues.
Yes.
We'd have fewer issues in the church. You know, we still hear, you know, as a church as big as this, I praise the Lord, there's not a bunch of gossip that you hear floating around, but you still hear gossip floating around.
Yes.
That's because somebody's not in their Bible. It's because somebody's not taking time to read their Bible and get focused in on those things, and they get stuck on themselves. and on other people. And the Bible says that the smoke filled the tabernacle. And it was so dense, it was so heavy that Moses could not even go inside of it. And Moses said, you know what? It's full of God and not of me.
Yes.
God's tabernacle is meant to be full of himself, and you are a tabernacle of God, and he's meant to fill you. The Holy Spirit's meant to take over your body.
Yes.
And to have control. You know, if you could let the smoke inside you that leads the nation, I think it could lead you as an individual. If you could get the smoke of the Word of God to consume you, then you wouldn't have a problem. You know, there's one other thing I noticed about this clouds as I was going and looking in the Bible. You know what you find in the middle of a cloud? You find the presence of God. Over and over again, we find that. You go into the New Testament even, okay? When Jesus Christ got baptized, he come up out of the water, what happened? The Bible says a cloud came and a dove and a voice spoke out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Where'd that voice come from? The cloud. The presence of God was there. Hey, what about when the Lord Jesus Christ descended after he died, was buried, and he rose again, and the Bible says that the apostles watched him go up in a cloud?
Right.
Hey, when the Bible says when he comes back, they're going to see the Son of Man in a cloud.
Right.
You say, "Brother Tim, I want to have the presence of God in my life. I want to feel the presence of God." You've got to get into the cloud. You've got to find a way to get into it. You say, "I want it. I need it. It has to be a part of my life." This is a cloud of words. Exactly how many words are in it? I don't know. I don't know that anybody knows for sure. It'd take too much counting, amen? And I've got more important things to do with my time, but there's a plenty of words in this for you to get what you need. But you've got to seek it out. You've got to get to the bottom of it. It's a cloud of words. It's a collection. Nobody can manipulate except for God. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go ahead and turn there one last time. I was going to skip it, but I'd like to go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren," I still hear pages flipping. I'll slow down for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them was God not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." You know, when God led them, and we went back to Exodus chapter 13, the Bible says he brought them to the edge of the wilderness. And the cloud was sitting right there. And they could look into the wilderness, or they could follow the way of God. And the Bible says right here in 1 Corinthians, it says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." He brought him to the edge of the wilderness. And, you know, God is with us in this world, but he's not going to take us out yet.
Right.
And you might find yourself in the world if you don't get enough of the cloud. You don't look to the cloud. You don't pay attention to the cloud. Hey, listen, if I were a child of God in the nation of Israel at that time, I'd be always asking my son, "Is the cloud still out there?"
Yeah.
I'd be peeking out the window, the tent, and the window in the tent and saying, "Yep, the cloud's still here. We're still good." But yet we take this word of God, the Bible, and we set it on shelves, we put it on our dashboards, and we open it on Sunday, and sometimes by the time Sunday comes around, you've lost your cloud.
Yes.
And the Bible says God is not well pleased with them because they went into the wilderness. He said, "I brought you right up next to it, but my cloud was there. You didn't have to go into the wilderness. You could have just followed the cloud. You could have stayed right by the cloud. Boy, I'd have pitched my tent as close to the cloud as I could get it." Amen?
Amen.
I'd have said, "I want to be where that thing is because I've never seen one of those before." Amen?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to take the Bible tonight and just this simple illustration of a cloud and let you out a couple minutes early even. Amen? And just remind you that we need to follow God. And if you're going to follow God, it takes his cloud, his word of God, to come into your heart, but you've got to follow it. You've got to go after it. You've got to be at camp at the base of it. You need to make it the authority in your home. You need to make sure all your kids say, we're following that cloud wherever it tells us to go. The Bible says it did not leave them day or night. They always had the cloud or the fire. All the time. And the Bible says there were times where they would stay right there because the cloud did not lead them on. And sometimes we have to stand still for God. But we're going to have to do that by looking to his cloud, by looking to his fire. The Bible says, were not my words as a fire. So I just want to challenge you tonight, and it's short, sweet, and simple, but follow God. Stick to the word of God. And he'll lead, guide, and direct you as necessary. Preacher.
Let's stand with our heads bowed for just a little bit. Think on what we've just heard. What a good truth. What a good analogy. What a convicting analogy. As the cloud can represent the very word of God. Meditate on it a moment. God put that cloud there for the Israelites to follow, keep them out of trouble, to supply their needs and to give them protection. That certainly is the word of God. Amen. You know, if we get in the cloud, if we get in the word will get in us. The psalmist spoke about hiding the word of God in his heart that he might not sin against the Lord. Sometimes when people come in with their problems to me and I counsel with them, help them if I can. But the thought comes first and foremost to me so many times, if you'd have been in the Word, you'd know the answer. If you'd been in the Word, you wouldn't be in this fix if you'd been following the cloud. Father, I thank you for the message tonight. I thank you for speaking to my heart about it, and I'm sure you spoke to others. Father, I pray tonight as we give a verse of invitation that somebody you've spoken to might come to the altar and do business with you and just simply say, forgive me, Father, I've been looking for answers in the wrong place, refusing to follow what you've given me to follow. Father, if there might be one here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, they may not even know what the preacher was talking about as he talked about the Word of God. But Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to that heart and draw them that they could come to Christ and then follow him by following his word. Bless the invitation, Father. Whatever the need is, speak to hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.